Verse 8, but it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up. So I've just called this coming home. Coming home. But of course we know coming home for a time of trouble, but will yield the greatest blessing on earth that any have seen. And in verse 18 we have some blessed promises that come, and also in verse 20, in verse 22 we find also the Lord telling. Let's read some wonderful verses here regarding the homecoming. I love this verse. Chapter 30, verse 11. Let's read it. It's a wonderful verse. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Isn't that a lovely, reassuring verse? And so we can go through human history and we can write up all the names, cross them all off one by one. They've had their glory, they've had their day. But Israel, strangest, mysterious way, continues. And he's for them. Verse 16, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks. And again we have restoration. Verse 18, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its mound, and the palace shall remain according to its plan. And then in verse 22, which we have mentioned here in covenant relationship to God, this reoccurring covenantal formula. This is a covenantal formula that goes right through the Bible, and you'll find it in the last chapter of the Bible. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, look out for that whenever you read the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament. We haven't time to investigate this, but it's even in the closing chapters, 21, 22, of when the holy city comes there, God's space city that's just waiting there to come down planet Earth. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And then God makes a decree, as we have it in the notes. Listen to this. Listen to this decree. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind, who will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider this. So we find that this chapter, even apart from that last verse and that last phrase, we can see that it is the regathering of the nation of Israel, which we believe has begun in our generation and will continue. But God gives us an interpretive key here. You'll understand this in the latter days, the latter days. So there is a return. And we have the children of Israel now returning in the context. Now we have another, behold, the days are coming. And here we are getting close now to our new covenant passage. So we have in our second point here, retribution or reversal, coming from verse 27 in chapter 31. Here we have our second, behold, the days are coming. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. So here in 27 and 28, we are getting closer to our new covenant passage. Just hold on there. We're arriving very shortly. But what's the context? The Lord said, I'm going to bring you back, and all the captivities and judgments have brought upon you, people scattered, livestock scattered, captivity, destruction, even in the great tribulation period. There'd be carnage. God said, I will methodically sow you in the land. Okay, sow you. Man and beast, and livestock, even the economy of that time when the Messianic kingdom was set up. And as I watched over you to pull it all up, to destroy it and to scatter you around the world, so I will come back with you and then we will plant you right in the land of Israel. Now I'd like to turn you to Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Chapter 1 and verse 10 because you see that is the very essence of the calling of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. That was his commission. And of course, now we're finding it here right on the threshold of the revelation. So there with the behold the days are coming, we now enter the truths regarding the new covenant. One little word that the Lord gives in 29 and 30 is something of what we call personal accountability. Personal accountability and planting and prosperity. In those days, they won't be saying this. What days? The days of the re-establishment of the nation of Israel, the messianic days when the Lord Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the nation of Israel is around him. They won't say in those days, because this is what they're saying now in Jeremiah's day, trying to blame somebody else for the ills and the troubles that they're in. Mum and Dad made me do it. Have you heard the devil made me do it? Well, here it's, oh, look, we're getting all this trouble because of all the former generations. But when the day comes, they won't say that. The day of Jesus' return, they won't say that. They will, from the north to the south, mourn and confess their sin. So here it is, in those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, you know some of those stories, don't you, about chickens and chicken feet and so on. No, I won't go into that. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity, and every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. No passing the buck, as we say. That's what they're doing.